We're not going to be focusing much on the rest of Simchot Tzadi. We dealt with the major moral and nice issues of the definition of Ksamim. We're not really going to focus on the details of Tliyos, which aren't terribly Lamaisa nowadays. And just one comment before we move on. What we have in Shulchan Aruch and Simchot Tzadi, beginning with Sif Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel Yud Aleph, which is really the Gemara in the beginning of Haroah Kesem, different situations where, depending on where a woman finds Dam, we either have to assume that it came in a Makor, it came in Gufa, in his Tmeya, or not, where on her body, where on her Begadim. So the Shevet Alevi makes a point a few times in the Sefer, in the Shiurim over here, Shiur Shevet Alevi, that a lot of this is the Fiyah Malkam and Fiyah Zman. It's really subject to the way people normally dress and the way people normally walk and act. So, for example, even though we have here in Shulchan Aruch, again, based on the Gemara, that if a woman sees Dam on a sheet, then that'll render her Tmeya, because it likely came, again, assuming you don't have the Kulas Ksamim to operate with, but if there aren't other Kulas Ksamim, if you see Dam on a white sheet that is more than a gris, material that's Mekabel Tumah, she's going to be Tmeya. However, Rav Ozner points out, that's talking about a situation where a woman is not wearing tightly fitted undergarments, and if there's Dam on the sheet, it likely came Migufa. But if a woman is wearing an undergarment that would catch the Dam, and there's no Dam to be found on the undergarment, you just find it on a sheet, that's analogous to the case where you find Dam on a mattress that's under a sheet, and there's only Dam on the mattress and on the sheet, meaning if there are other layers of protection, other barriers where you would expect to see the Dam first, and you don't see the Dam there, and you just see the Dam in an area that's further removed from her body, then you don't assume automatically that she's Tmei or that the Dam came Migufa. So a lot of this is dependent on Hamakom Hazman, so to speak. The Chachmas Adar writes about that case in Simen Kuf Yud Gimel Os Yud Ches, Simen Kuf Yud Gimel Os Yud Ches, that if you find Dam on a mattress or a pillow, which is on the sheet, it's on the sheet, then she's going to be Tahora. Rav Ozner says the same thing by Yadayim. It says here in Shulchan Aruch and Sefer Aleph that if a woman sees Dam al Yadeha, then you have to assume that she's Tameya because Yadayim Askan Yasein, and it's likely that maybe without thinking about it, she touched Osar Mokam, she touched the area where the Dam could have fallen on her hand. But Rav Ozner points out, if a woman is just working in the kitchen and there's stuff around the kitchen that could have caused a red appearance, so then that's the Tliya. So a lot of this is Lefi Makom Hazman and the details of how people act and dress. Michael?
So in this case of, let's say, seeing the type of worn undergarment, right, in terms of the bed, could that be applied to every scenario? Not only to the bed, let's say I find Dam on my pant on a girl's dress, but you don't see the Dam on the...
Yeah, so that's what's discussed here. Sometimes something could fall over, but in theory, you have to evaluate every case based on the particulars, and this is relevant, could be relevant to many scenarios. Yeah.
So if we're saying it's really tight,
it's correct,
it's
so that could be, right? Yeah, so in that kind of case also. Good.
Okay,
we'll move on now to our focus for today, which is the sugya of Dam B'Hashtana, the Mishnah and the Gemara and Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis, corresponding to Simen Kuf Tzadi Aleph in Shulchan Aruch. So the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of the ninth parak, Nun Tes Amud Beis, Aisha Shehi Oses Rechaha, V'Ra'asa Dam. If a woman sees Dam in, or while she's releasing Mei Raglayim, Rabbi Meir Omer, Im Omedes Temeya V'Im Yoshavis Tavar. If she's standing up while she is Mashtina, then she is Temeya. And if she's sitting down, she is Tahora. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Bein Kach Bein Kach Tahora. There's no distinction between Omedes and Yosheves. She is Tahora in both instances. What is the concern of Rabbi Meir? What's the distinction between Omedes and Yosheves? The Gemara says, Maishna Omedes, Da'arminan, Mei Raglayim, Hadr, L'makor, V'Aisi Dam. So the concern by Omedes apparently is that maybe the Mei Raglayim took a step back. Instead of coming out, it went backwards, went back into the Makor, and brought along Dam and a Makor together with it on its second way out. Yosheves Nami Neima Mei Raglayim Hadr L'Makor V'Aisi Dam. That's a concern. that somehow the Meir's line was going to go backwards and bring out some dominant Makor with it, why is there any difference between Yosheves and Omedes? That should be an equal concern by Yosheves as well. Amr Shmuel b'mizanekes. No, we're talking about a case where the Meir's line is coming out in a stream. Mizanekes nami dilma basid etamu maya asadam. So the Gemara says, so Shmuel is saying, according to Remeir's distinction between Omedes and Yosheves, the case of Yosheves, where she is Tahora, is where she's Mizanekes, where it's coming out in a stream, and there we're not concerned about Hadu Lamakar Vaisida. Where it says, Mizanekes Nami Dilma Basid Tamu Maya Sadam, maybe Mizanekes too there should be a concern. Amr Baba B'Yosheves Asfas Asafal U'Mizanekes B'Soch Asfal. We're talking about a case where she's sitting on the edge of the basin, chamber pot, toilet, and she's mizanekes inside the chamber. And the dam is found there as well, together with the Meir HaGlayim. If we're concerned that maybe the dam came out after the Meir HaGlayim, and it's dam in the Makor, as opposed to dam from Mak or some other source, then you should have found it on the edge and not inside the bowl. Okay. So the presentation of the Gemara within Remeir is that to the extent that we are ever concerned about dam found in Meir HaGlayim is because of Hadal HaMakor V'Aisidam. There's this concern that maybe somehow the Meir HaGlayim is going to go back into the Makor and bring out Dam in the Makor with it. Otherwise, we would have assumed that any Dam that comes together with Meir HaGlayim is Dam Maka, it's not in the Makor. There's some wound there that's causing this Dam. However, under certain circumstances, we're concerned that maybe Hadar LaMakor, Meir HaGlayim Hadar LaMakor, the icy dot. I haven't explained anything yet, but yeah.
Now I'm just curious, biologically, does that make sense to
these things? At least I haven't explained anything yet. But we'll get it. Okay. The Chuvas Aran points out, Chuvas Aran is Simon Mantes, that the Beis Yosef quotes, Chuvas Aran Simon Mantes, that before you even attempt to explain what the biology of Meir HaGlayim Hadar LaMakor V'Aisi Dam is, it doesn't sound like something that's so common. So the Chuvas Aran says, this is Remeir Lishitaso of Chashina and the Miyuta. That's the Yisod HaMachlokes Tanan here. According to Rav Yossi, Benkach Ubenkach Torah, because even if there's some remote chance that this might happen, it's a rarity, it's a Miyut. And Remeir holds Chashina and Miyuta, so that's why he has such a calculation. Even though we usually assume that Remeir isn't Choshesh LeMiyuta LeMiyuta, there still has to be some credible likelihood, even if it's only a miyot of it happening. So, but that's how the Ram presents it, that this is Remei Lishitaso, that Chashinan Limiuta. Okay, so how does this really play into the distinction between Omedes and Yosheves? Let's look back on Daf Nun Zayin of the Beis, where the Gemara had quoted this din in the context of Hargasha. So Rashi writes over there on Daf Nizayin on the Beis, second year Maskil in the Gemara, Omedes Temeya, what's the concern that if a woman is Mashtina while she's standing, she's going to be Temeya, according to Remeir? The Aidi, the Dafik La Alma, Rashi Nun Zayin on the Beis, Dibra Maskil Omedes Temeya, the second year Maskil on the Gemara, and Daf Nizayin on the Beis. Okay? Rashi writes, Omedes Temeya, the Aidi the Dafik La Alma Dim Uma Hishtina, since she has pressure that forces her to be Mashtina while standing, which is not a normal position. The normal position is to be sitting. So the reason that she's doing this while she's standing is because she couldn't hold it back. So there's this force that is forcing the Meir HaGlayim out, and she couldn't wait any longer, so it's coming out while she's standing. Lo Yachal Alad Sor, and she couldn't hold it back, she couldn't hold it in. So in that case, the fact that she's omedes is, it sounds like a simen as opposed to a siva. It's not that omedes in and of itself is a problem. The fact that she's omedes is a simen, is an indication that she's unable to hold it in. And where she's unable to hold it in, there's some pressure, some force that is working against her. That's where this concern of hader merig lime lemakor v'aisadam applies. So it's not omedes per se. Omedes is an indication that there's this pressure forcing the merig lime out, which could have the result of hader lemakor v'aisadam. Let's look back at Rashi and Argamai here in Entes on the Beis. Gemara said, Amr Shmuel, b'mizanekes. Let's look at Rashi. B'mizanekes, mikalachas. So, Mikalakas is another term for Shoseses. So, the case of Yosheves is where it's not streaming out, but it's dripping. So I might have mistranslated Mizanekas the first time I read the Gemara, so I apologize for that. And Mizanekas is So Shmuel says the case of Yosheves, or Meir says Tahora, is the Mizanekes. What does Mizanekes mean? Rashi Mikalachas. The came of the Nafid, the Kiluach, since it's coming out in a more of a spurt, Ki Urcha Lo Dechika. Below hader merig lime lemakor. In that case, we're not worried about hader merig lime lemakor. The ain derech dam makor latzeis in merig lime. So under normal circumstances, it's not natural for dam and makor to come out with merig lime. Aval shoseh says, "Aidi de okma anaf shahu, the ika lemeimar hador." I'm sorry. Let's start again. Mizanekes, Mikalachas is coming out in a stream. The Kiluach. So, okay, yeah. Mizanekes, Mikalachas. It came to nothing, the Kiluach, the Urcha, Lo Dechika. That where it's coming out in a stream naturally, while she's sitting down, then there's no extra pressure. The Loha, the Merib, Lion, the Makor. The ain derech dam makor latzeis in merig lime. So if she was standing and it's streaming out, it's mikalachas, it's mizanekes. So then we're concerned that she couldn't hold it in, and that's why she's standing. And then there's other merig lime makor.
There's no mizanekes by standing though. Rashi says Yeshar is standing mizanekes.
I'm sorry.
It's not possible for Rashi that she's mizanekes while standing.
So let's finish the Rashi. But if it's spurting, Aidi de Okma Nafshahu, the Ikal and Neymar Hador Ki'ilu Omedes. But if it's spurting, so there's a possibility that if it's spurting now, that's because the spurting is a result of not being able to hold it in. The ikal neimar hader kilo omedes, aval omedes I efshar la lizanik. Yes, what does that line mean in Rashi? Yefshe omed es yefshe lo levanei.
What does Rashi mean?
I said, what does it mean in Rashi?
Oh.
Omed es yefshe lo levanei.
What's the problem with that line?
He holds that by standing, it's always going to dribble out. It's not impossible to have a stream. It's always going to be...
It's always going to be shosesses.
There's no other case that Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Meir would argue.
See, right, so Rashi never says, Rashi never talks about Mikhalakas, Mizanekas, in the context of Amedes. That's what Rashi says over here, Amedes, Yashol, Lazanik. So the way Rashi presents it, you're right, you saw Meir, the way Rashi presents it is that by Amedes, we're concerned that the reason she's Amedes is because there is some pressure that she can't resist, and that's why we're concerned about Hajar, Meir, Lam, Hajar, Lam, Akhtar, Sidan, but the presentation of the Hashtana when she's a Mendes is going to be one of Shosasas. But if she's Yosheves, then if she's Shosasas, that's an indication that there was some kind of pressure and we're concerned about Hadul Mark of Isidam, as opposed to if she's Mizanekas while Yosheves, where that's normal and there's no such concern. Yeah, that's how Rashi presents she does her mayor. Okay, so what is the mitzvah we're talking about of Hadal Makar Aisidam? A little bit difficult to understand. No, the Yehuda points that out in Tshuva Sevim Mem Tes, that it's a little difficult to understand, or a lot difficult to understand. There's a Tshuvas Ma'arach or Zeruah, Tshuvas Ma'arach or Zeruah Sevim Ches, who has the following line. And the Avnei Nezer thinks this is probably the most reasonable approach. Avni Nezer in Shuva Yeredeya Simin. Simin Reish Lamed Beis. Yeredeya Reish Lamed Beis. So the Maroch HaTzura writes, Kacha Perish Kishenet Sarim Hamayim Kodim Sheyatz L'chutz L'nekev Sheyotzim Yimenu, that if the Meraglayim somehow is blocked before it goes through the urethra, Omach Maskolim, because of an illness, Okishav Tzeres Asmor, stops itself, Omis Mali Mekom Ashtan, or the bladder bloats up, Ah Shemisham Derech Sedek O'Nekev Yotzim Nechnasim Makor, such that there's then a hole or a crack where now the Meraglayim can move over to the vaginal canal and then go back up to the Rachem. So that's the Mitzias that they were talking about over here. In the Art Scroll English Mishnayos, they point out there is a medical condition called overflow incontinence, which doesn't sound like it's exactly this, but it, the situation is where a person loses control of their bladder and the ability to regulate how the Meraglayim is coming out, and maybe somehow, in some rare instance, that could result in this kind of a mitzias. But even for a Meir's Choshesh Levit, at least the way modern science goes, it doesn't sound like this is a terribly likely situation. Be that as it may, the concern is something along those lines. Even the Mei Chazal, it sounds like the most likely scenario is that it's Damak and not Dam and Makor, but Remeir's Choshesh, that maybe we have this. I think so. We have to talk to the medical professionals, but it doesn't sound like this is something that that is. The. Let me rephrase that. The notion of Hadr Meiraglaim and Makor by Sidam is something that isn't really Benimsa. That doesn't mean you can't. And as Rashi acknowledges, the Mitzias is that Meraglayim and Dam and Makor are coming from different places and leaving through different places. So, potentially, the two concerns. One concern is that they came out, the Dam coming out together with the Meraglayim that came in the Makor. The other potential concern is that the Dam and Makor came out right after the Meraglayim and got mixed together, and you can't tell whether it came out afterwards or whether it came together. That's also a potential concern. And that could exist independent of Aitzil Makor Vaisidam. Hadil Makor Vaisidam. You look at the Badr Shulchan in the first Sivkata and in the Simen, he quotes various approaches in Achrodim to understand the Mitzvahs of the Gemara. They all have their challenges or dochitness. And the Avni Nezer himself quotes three potential approaches. He likes the Ma'arach or Zeruah the best. Now, in Rashi's presentation here of Shoseses, the Chasam Sofer frames it in Simon Kuf Memches, Chasam Sofer Kuf Memches. And as we said, according to Rashi, Amida is a simon for the fact that there's certain pressure that could contribute to Hadar L'Makor V'Aisudam. And that's a concern potentially by Shoseses, by Yosheves as well, that Shoseses is reflective of the fact that there was a original pressure, even after the pressure leaves, and now she's able to be mashtina, the fact that she's now doing so in a way that Shoseses is an indication that there was a previous dochak. But in theory, according to Rashi, this emerges from the Chasam Sofer's analysis, in theory, according to Rashi, if you have a different kind of shosesis where she was mizanekas first, it was a normal flow, and then there are some drops that just drop out at the end after a normal flow, so maybe that concern, according to Rashi, doesn't apply. Whereas according to other Rishonim, they don't distinguish between those types of shosesis. Shosesis may be an independent concern or independent indication that there could be dam min hamakor mixed in. Okay. Now that's Shitas for Meir for now. And as we said, Rabbi Yossi Omer ben kafku ben kaftar. The Gemara indicates that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. However, there is a major machlokas Rishonim as to what Rabbi Yossi really meant. Is Ben Kafka, Ben Kaf, Tahora really totally unequivocal? Or even Rabbi Yossi, are there situations in which a woman's going to be Tameya if there is Dam, B'nei Raglayim, Dam, B'Hashtana? So the Rambam seems fairly straightforward. And the Rambam's position is reflected in Shulchan Aruch here. The Rambam writes, Perek He Halacha Yud Zayin, Aisha Shishtina Mayim, V'yatza Dam, Im Mei Raglayim, Bein Shishtina V'hi Omedes, Bein Shishtina V'hi Yosheves, Harezu Tahora. So whether she's Omedes, whether she's Yosheves, she is Tahora. That's Rav Yossi Bein Kachu Bein Kach Tahora. Afilu Hirgish Gufa V'nizdaza Ina Choshashes, Shargashas Mei Raglayim. Even if there's Hargasha, we assume that is Hargashas Mei Raglayim. She'ei Mei Raglayim in the Cheder V'dam Zedam Makahu V'chlochles V'chlocheles of the Kilia. Since it's impossible for Dam and Makor to come out together with Mei Raglayim, they're coming from different places. So it must be that this is Dam Makah that came from somewhere in the system where the Mei Raglayim come from. That seems unequivocal, that according to Rabbi Yossi, there are no distinctions between Omedes Yosheves, no distinctions between Mizaneches and Shoseses. And that's what the Mechaber writes over here, Lashon HaRambam, Ben Shishtina V'hi Omedes, Ben Shishtina V'hi Yosheves. The Mechaber just copies Lashon HaRambam. If you look at the Aruch Lener on Tosfos and Daf Yudal and Rebbeis, Dibur Maskel Rabbi Yossi. The Aruch Lener to Tosfos Yudal and Rebbeis, Dibur Maskel Rabbi Yossi, points out that's the simple reading of the Mishnah. Bein Omedes, Bein Kachu Bein Kach Tahora. Since Rabbi Yossi is arguing on Remeir, Remeir says, Im Omedes Tamei Mishavis Torah, Rabbi Yossi's Ben Kach Ben Kach doesn't allow for any distinction between, or any equivocation about what situation she is Tahora. However, if you look at the Chavis Das here, Simen Kupzadi, not here, in previous Simen, one second, Chavis Das, Simen Kupzadi, Si'if Katan Kaf Dalet, Simen Kutsadi Sifkatan Kav Dalit suggests that maybe the Rambam is only talking about concern A. We pointed out before, potentially there are two concerns. Number one is that there's Dam Minamakor that's coming out together with the Mei Raglayim. And the other one is that when you look in the Sefal and you see Dam and Mei Raglayim mixed together, maybe the Dam came after the Mei Raglayim. So even if it's impossible for Dam to come together with Mei Raglayim, maybe it came afterwards, and now you're just noticing it. So the Chavis Das suggests that maybe within the Rambam, the whole discussion here is only about the first concern. That if you know that the Dam's coming out, you see the Dam coming out of the Hashtana, yes, it's coming out, so then there's no concern. Bein Omedes, Bein Yosheves, Bein Mizanachas, Bein Shoseses. But if you're just looking in the Sfal after the fact, and you see Mei Raglayim and Dam, maybe there you'd still have to be Choshesh, that Dam came in a Makor after the Mei Raglayim. So Chavis Das thinks that maybe even according to the Rambam, this is not a absolutely unequivocal psak. Only where you see the dam coming out of the hashtana, then it's impossible that that dam would be min makor. But if you don't see it coming out together, you're just looking in the bowl after the fact, then maybe the dam came afterwards.
Does he quote anything like the Rambam style? Is to, I mean, it's classic Rambam to go like the pashtus of a mission like this.
Okay, it's a suggestion that Chavis Das has the end of a longer piece. Without developing it within Shitas Rambam per se. We can take a look. The end of the Pashtus, the way he's generally assumed is that the Rambam is unequivocal in all cases, and that's the psak of the Mechaber. Okay, the Torah quotes V'shem HaRosh, and the Rosh in Siman Aleph has this V'das HaTosfos, that Rabbi Yossi is in fact not absolute. That Rabbi Yossi will be metaher if the woman is omedes umizanekes, if she's standing up umizanekes, which you saw Mary pointed out according to Rashi is a physical impossibility, okay? Or if she's yosheves v'shoseses, or if she's sitting down and shoseses. But if she is omedes vishoseses, then she's going to be tmeya. That's what the Rosh terms of tarti l'reyusa, that both omedes and shoseses are independent reasons to be concerned about hadalamak or isidam. Again, it's post to Rashi, for whom omedes and shoseses seem to both be reflective of the same concern that there is pressure which results in Hadar, Meriglam Hadar Lamakar Vaisidam. According to Tosfos, according to the Rosh, there are two separate concerns. Omedes independently is a concern, and Shoseses independently is a concern. And if you have both of those concerns together, that's a Tarti L'Reisa, and there she's going to be Temeah. The Ram points out in the Shuvah, it's Simon Memtes, that the fact that the Gemara here has a Shaka B'tari within Shitas Remeir, which would be the Ram thinks unusual if it's a Shita in Tanan that we don't pass on like at all, then why is the whole focus of the Gemara with Shitas Remeir? The whole thing is about Remeir, and then there's an afterthought the Gemara says, you pass on like Rabbi Yossi. If you pass on like Rabbi Yossi, why are we spending so much time trying to figure out Shitas Remeir? So it must be that there's some resonance of Shitas Remeir, La Halacha, even if you don't pass them like Remeir in totality. That's why the Ran thinks it makes sense to take this position, Levali Tosfos, that there is some restriction, even within Shitas of Yossi, of what the Rosh terms the Tarti L'Reisa, because there has to be some application of Remeir even L'Halacha. Phil.
Can you say that one more time?
The Rosh says that anytime you have a Tarti L'Reisa, meaning if it's both Omedes and Shoseses, which are two strikes against you, then even according to Rabbi Yossi, she's going to be Temeah.
So the Rosh would disagree with Rashi in that regard then?
The Rosh would disagree with Rashi in that regard, and disagree with the Rambam in the other regard, that l'halacha within Rabbi Yossi, there is a situation in which she's going to be Temeah. Okay, and this seems to be the first opinion in the Ramah, V'yishamim. De'eila tira ela v'yosheves v'hishtina. Aval ba'omedes im mikalachas l'sof asfal v'nimsa shandam tahora. Aval im shosesin al svas asfal v'nimsa shandam temeya. That if, while she is omedes, she's also shoseses al svas asfal. She's temeya. Hol v'amakum sar chosin l'makor umiviyim dam. So the Tazir points out that the distinction of the Ramah between al svas hasfal, say that 10 times fast, and inside the sval, is somewhat lav dafka. The real critical point is shoseses or not, just the mitzias, the norm would be that if she's shoseses, the dam is going to be al. If she's shoseses and the dam is minim makor, it would more likely be found al sefas hasfal.
Who's that
then? The Taz. The Sifkat and Aleph. But that's the position of the Rosh, that if she's both shoseses and omedes and shoseses, that would be a concern even according to Rabbi Yossi.
I feel like the more I went through all the shakotari on that mershi, because
that's what the Ran says.
Right,
that's what the Ran says. And then the third major shita in Rishon, there are more than three, but the third major shita that's more likely reflected on the page of Shulchan Aruch is that of Rabbeinu Chananel, which is quoted on Yudal Mebeis, Tosfos Divrei Maskil of Rabbi Yossi. Tosfos Divrei Maskil of Rabbi Yossi in the Taher quotes as follows. Mi Rabbeinu Chananel Piresh, the Rabbi Yossi lav legami mitar Rabbi Yishas Shosin Tzorcha. That Rabbi Yossi is not absolutely, totally, under all circumstances, metaher, a woman who's oset rachaha, who can maskana dira meir, mishum nida idmar. The Ben Chananel says Rabbi Yossi is not metaher legamri. What does that mean, he's not metaher legamri? Tosfos doesn't tell us. So we don't have Rabbi Chananel, the Makor, we don't have an original Rabbi Chananel on Masechet Nida to tell us. We just have the second-hand citation in Rishonim. The Tosfos, of course, Rabbeinu Chananel is saying there's a distinction. Rabbi Yossi is not mitar legamri, but doesn't tell us what Rabbeinu Chananel actually said. What is that situation where he's not mitar? The Rush does. The Rush here in Simon, the Rush in Perek Beis, Simon Beis, the Rush in Perek Beis, Simon Beis, says that Rabbeinu Chananel is mitahir mishum nida, and mitame mishum kesem. Rabbeinu Chananel explaining, Rabbi Yossi says that the woman who is Rav Adam B'Hashtana is going to be Tahora Mishum Nida, meaning she's not going to be Tameya Min HaTorah, but she'll be Tameya Mishum Kesa, meaning the Rabban. So we treat her status as that of having a Kesem, so it's not Nida D'Araisa. It's kesem de rabbana.
Is that common? Like in Shabbos, Pasuk Malasser, tame means midiraisa of all midirabbana. Sorry, tahira midiraisa of tame midirabbana. There's some sort of.
I don't think it's common. It's not. You don't know the same kind of nomenclature as by Shabbos. It's definitely not a code word for derabbana versus deraisa. But that's what the Rosh explains, but that's Rabbeinu Chananel here. The Marsha quotes that here, the Marsha says that here, explaining on this Tosfos as well. Okay, Tameya Midrabanan, but Tahora Min HaTorah, which means to say that any situation in which Remeir is Machmir, Rabbi Yossi will agree with Remeir as far as Dine Xamen. So the distinction between Omedes and Yosheves would be relevant even for Bielsi. Lemaisa, as far as Tumas Ksamim, but not Nida the Arais. If you look back in that Tshuva Saran, yeah.
Is there enough mina between Tamei because of Kesem, Tamei because of, or
Tumas
because of
Nida the Arais? Lanaf Kaminas. Can we nafka mina for a gris? Are we make a lanashir gris when it comes to Dam the Hashtana? Are we make a lanadarashir and Makabal Tumma?
Interesting. We're like, but.
That we'll talk about.
Doesn't everyone already view Kesem as Durban?
That's true. So are we concerned over here that maybe she's an Ita Daraisa? Maybe if you need a Hargasha, Dilma Argasha Vlava Daita, and this is Dhamma Makor. That's different than saying that it's a Tumas Kesem Derabanan. Tumas Kesem Derabanan means that we have no concern whatsoever that she might be an Ita Daraisa. Simply Zayr Derabanan.
Okay.
So if you look back in the Shoel and Shuvah Saran, in Simon Memtes, the Shoel, the person who asked the Ram the question, has a different explanation of Rabbeinu Chananel's distinction. He distinguishes between Taros and the Heter Labaila. That according to Rabbi Yossi, when Rabbi Yossi is Mitaher, Rabbi Yossi is only Mitaher as far as Taros. Benkach or Benkach Tahora in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. But as far as the Issur L'Baila, Rabbi Yossi will agree to Remeir across the board. So whatever situation Remeir is Mafmir, Rabbi Yossi will agree to Remeir as far as the Issur L'Baila. He only argues about Taras. The Ran quotes the Shavuot, and the Ran comments, Ein elu ela divrei nevius. He doesn't mean that in a positive way. The ein lahem amasha yismochu v'lav Rabbeinu Chananel chasam ala. So that has no basis. It's purely worse than speculative. It's not grounded in reality. And Rabbeinu Chananel never would have signed off in such a position. So the Ran dismisses out of hand this distinction between Taros and Iser Labal. Even though, if you look in the Beis Yosef, Beis Yosef seems to accept it. V'das Rabbeinu Chananel. And the Shach, here in Sifkat and Gimel, the Shach assumes that the second Yesh Omer in the Ramah is this Shita Rabbeinu Chananel. Let's just read that for a moment. I'll come back to it later. But the Ramah says, "V'yesh omrim da'afilu v'yosheves ein lahatir ela b'mikalachas v'nimsa dam tochasval." So this is the most chumrah shita, the most machmir shita we have in Shulchan Aruch. The mechaber has no distinction whatsoever. The first day in the Ramah is machmir by Atarti L'Reisa, and v'yesh omrim da'afilu v'yosheves ein lahatir ela b'mikalachas. That we're only matir if you have tarti l'tivusa. We're only matir if she's yosheves and it's mikalachas. V'nim sadan toch asfal. Aval asfas asfal tmeya uva medes v'cholinin tmeya. If she's a medes, she's tmeya across the board. And if she's yosheves, she's going to be tmeya if she is shoseses. It's only the yosheves uva mikalachas if it's tarti l'tivusa that she is Tahor. So the Shach thinks that this is the position of Rabbeinu Chananel. And the way he understands Rabbeinu Chananel is that Rabbeinu Chananel distinguishes between Lechachila and Bidiyevet. That for all intents and purposes, Rabbi Yossi agrees to Remeir on a Lechachila level, and he only argues Bidiyevet. He agrees with Chachila, he argues with Bidiyevet. That's a little difficult to understand, because what does it mean to talk about a Lechachila and a Bidiyevet when it comes to Issur L'Baila? It's a matter of status, is she Issur L'Baila or not? So what's Shai to talk about Lechachila or Bidiyevet? Either she's Issur L'Baila or she's not Issur L'Baila. Presumably, we're not necessarily talking about the Raisas here. But that's the Shach's analysis. So again, within Shita Rabbeinu Chananel, the Shoel and the Ran assume this is a distinction between Issur L'Baila and Taras. The Shach assumes it's a distinction between Lechachila and Bidiyevet. And the Rosh assumes it's a distinction between the Raisa and the Rabbana.
If I'm not mistaken, I saw it safer, doesn't mean that Rabbeinu Chananel has
Say that again?
I saw Rabbi Rabbi Simon's packets.
Yeah.
That it was presented a sacred dedicated to Rabbi Nachmanel's parish.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, that it was both Afil Bidyevin.
A commentary on Rabbi Nachmanel?
Could be.
You'll find it in Shoter. Okay. Good. So in the Ramah itself, let's say the second Yeshua of the Ramah, it's not clear whether we're talking about Tumas Vadai or Tumas Ksamim. It's not clear whether in the Ramah's presentation we're talking about Deraisa or Derabanan. The Shachir assumes that we're talking about a Derabanan. So if we're talking about a Derabanan, so then it should be subject to Kulas Ksamim. And in theory, even in a situation in which we were to be Machmir and Dan Bashtana, it would only be relevant if it's Yossi Mika Gris or an Adavar Hamikabel Tuma. If you look in the Badi Yashulchan here, Sukkot and Yudalid, the Badi Yashulchan writes that Mistimas HaPoskim, it seems that she should be Tumeya even less than a Gris, because there's no basis to be Tola Dam the Hashana and a Macholas. So what's Shayach Agris? Again, according to all those poskim that view Gris as an absolute exclusion, then that's not such a compelling argument. If this is subject to Ksamim, then it has Kulas Ksamim, even if there is no Macholas. And many Achronim assume no way. Rabbi Karp quotes many poskim. Parakut Beis, footnote 13, Parakut Beis, footnote Yugimel, Rabbi Karkos, many poskim that are cholik on the Badi Shulchan here and assume that you do have Kulas Ksamim. Rabbi Vadi as well, on page Kaf Beis, Rabbi Vadi assumes that the Iker is our Mekel on Ksamim, on these things, especially Shalob, Bishas, Vesta. Lechem Simla has an interesting observation. Lechem Simla, Simen Kuf Tzadi, Sivkata Lamites. Simen Kuf Tzadi, Sivkata Lamites. Lechem Simla, Dibur Maskel Vihine, Kuf Tzadi Lamites. He points out that if you just read the Mishnayos straight from the 8th parak through the 9th parak, all the Mishnayos are talking about Ksamim, Heroic Esa. The first Mishnah of the 9th parak is talking about Dan Bashtana. And then the following Mishnah is also talking about Ksamim. So it'd be a little bit odd if smack in the middle of all the Mishnah is about Ksamim, you have a Mishnah that a din deraisa, that a woman who sees Dan Bashtan is Tmeya Min HaTorah. More likely, in the context of the Mishnah, points out the Lechem HaSimla, it makes sense, that that's also Mishnah Ksamim, it's also only a din derabana, and otherwise what's it doing in the middle of all the Mishnah is about Ksamim? That's an interesting observation. So he thinks, like these poskim, that you have the right to be Mekel and Kulas Ksamim, Vidam
B'hashtana. Isn't it hard to measure the kesem and what's in the urine?
I'm sorry?
Measure
hard to measure? Yeah, it's hard to measure. We're talking, everything we're talking about till now is in theory, because in practice this doesn't, isn't necessarily so lemaisa. Why is it not necessarily so lemaisa? So the Ramah, the Richos and the Ramah afterwards, talks about what to do if you do see Dan Bisval and the Bedikas Naril and how to check out to ascertain what the real source of the Dan is. So again, just to clarify, the whole discussion here is we're not talking about you find Dan in a toilet bowl, because if you find Dan in a contemporary flush toilet bowl, there are potentially other reasons to be Mekel. As he pointed out, that was the Machlokas Achronim in Chas Yitzchak and Ray Bramsdorfer, whether water in that context is Mekabel Tumah, so it could be the water is not Mekabel Tumah. It could be if it's in the toilet is Mekabel Lekark, and that's not Mekabel Tumah. If you don't assume like that, Sidrei Tara about the Dovish Ein Mekabel Tumah and the Dovish Mekabel Tumah. So for all those reasons, in both situations, I'm sorry? What is, no, if you're to argue that the water is Mekabel Tumah,
you still have,
but be that as it may, so the case of Dan Bashtan is talking about a chamber pot where it's otherwise empty except for the Meir Glayim and the Dan that appears here. Rav Osner points out in the Shira Shevet Levi over here that nowadays we're not, there's no reason to go through these bedikas that the Rama discusses, because you can just have a laboratory test. If a woman sees dam together with meraglayim and wants to know, and she should want to know what's that coming from, then you bring it to the laboratory, and the laboratory can test where the dam is coming from. And we would rely on that conclusion, and that would prove that it's not dam in a makor, it's dam maka or the like. But the bottom line, what the poskim say, is the best way to avoid any of these situations is not to look. Not to look at the kinuach, not to look in the toilet bowl. As we quoted last time, the Chokas Mana quoted from the Deborah Senior, quoted from his father, the turn off the lights. If you don't look, then that's the easiest way to avoid any such problems. Bottom line, if a person did look, under most circumstances, we're going to end up being mako for any of the various reasons that we discussed. But always better not to look to avoid having to get into the shilas. Okay, I think we'll stop here. For next time, we're going to shift to Dan Maka, and I'll try to send you out Marmar Kamos in time for Seder tomorrow, so you can start on that. It's in Kofi Zion. Yeah, we're not going to